What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and thanks for tuning in. We got a lot of ground to cover today. Obviously, welcome to portal season. Man, what an insane couple of days it has been for college football as a whole. I mean, you know, last time we talked was a week ago, and I kind of did my regular season review. You know, there's a little bit of news to report on as well. We knew Portal Day was coming, but, you know, now when I sit down to record this episode, I had intentions, and we're going to talk about the bowl a little bit, but it's just the news cycle's moving so fast. It almost feels like the bowl is just old news now. I mean, it's still a very important game for Florida State. I think it's still something we need to talk about. But, you know, the news cycle is really just, it's flying faster than I think any of us imagined, even as crazy as we thought it was. I mean, you had over 1,000 players go into the portal the first day it opened. And, you know, this is unlike something that we've seen in the past. And it's been, you know, there's been a lot of portal usage, you know, in recent years since it's become a thing. But, you know, this year is just insane. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. And I do think there are obviously some downsides to it as well. You know, a lot of these kids, I mean, 1,000 kids, over 1,000 kids. I think they said there's like 2,000 or 3,000 kids in the portal right now. And, you know, unfortunately, not everybody's going to find a landing spot. I think some kids, you know, they just assume that the grass is going to be greener or the NIL money is going to be better somewhere else or a better opportunity. And, you know, of course, that's their right to chase that if that's what they want to do. You know, it's just like us if we have to change jobs or something like that. You know, that's their right, you know, now that the portal makes it allowable or however you want to say it. But, you know, it doesn't always mean it's the right move. And so, I mean, just with the sheer amount of numbers, there's going to be some kids left out. But, you know, it's also exciting, too. It's like I said last time, you know, when we talked about the portal and some of my thoughts on it was, you know, initially I think when the portal came about, it was kind of like, this could be bad. You know, I mean, obviously there's downsides to it. Like we said, some kids will enter and basically, you know, end their college career looking for a home in the portal. You know, and I think to me, like a bigger headline of what's bad about it would be tampering using NIL money. I mean, we saw Mack Brown at UNC say that he had players who were, you know, they were not sure if they were going to play in the bowl game or were going to leave. I mean, excuse me, the ACC championship, and they were going to leave right after because they had already had, you know, some pretty big money offers from multiple schools, which, you know, again, that's the part that you don't like, tampering with other teams' players who aren't even in the portal, you know. But, I mean, it's going to happen. And, you know, a lot of that, unfortunately, is because the NCAA is just soft. You know, they can't police anything, you know, unless it's an FSU basketball player who really did absolutely nothing wrong. So, free Baba. You know, it's just been a wild couple of days. And so I just kind of wanted to let the dust settle a little bit, kind of see how the news shook out before I jumped on here and did a lot of recording. And, you know, I feel like that's probably going to be the case going forward here. You know, I still want to try and record at least once a week for you guys, but it may be occasional shorter episodes with news breaking and things like that. And I mean, I will be honest, like I'm not one who I feel the need to break news first every time. I don't put out cryptic tweets, you know, saying I know something when I don't, or saying I think something big is going to happen next week. I mean, obviously something big is going to happen next week. It's, you know, or whenever you say that, like you have players who are going to announce they're returning, players who are going to announce they're leaving, players are going to hit the portal. I mean, it's not hard to say that you think some news is going to break when it's in the middle of news breaking season. So this is not really how I roll here. You know, I do obviously pay attention to recruiting. I do try and do the best I can to keep up with it. But there's just so many moving parts and, you know, nothing's guaranteed nowadays. So I prefer to kind of just wait and see how things shake out with some of the kids and some of the way things go before I really just jump on and say something that doesn't make any sense or something that doesn't pan out that way. I mean, to me, I'd rather be right than be first. And, you know, not every media outlet thinks that way, but, you know, to each their own. So anyway, with that, all that being said, you know, just talking about the portal and everything, we are going to mention the bowl game. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Obviously, you got the news of Jordan Travis returning as well as some other players. And then just portal thoughts as a whole. So we'll go ahead and get into that. So obviously, you know, we'll just start with the portal. So Florida State did have a few players of their own hit the portal. You know, guys like Amari Gaynor and Jarrett Jackson, Keyshawn Helton, Rod Orr, Sam McCall, Shambre Jackson. You've had some guys enter the portal. And, you know, realistically, when you think about it, I mean, Amari Gainer is an excellent player. And he's a specimen of, you know, just he's a physical specimen of what an athlete should look like. He just never really found his place in this defense. And, you know, that happens a lot of times with guys. You get recruited by a staff or one system and you just don't really find your way when a staffing change occurs, or, you know, things just don't pan out sometimes the way you want. And, you know, you hate to see him go, but people also do have to understand that this is his money year. Like, this is the last year that he's got, and he needs to, you know, put some snaps on tape to try and continue his journey to the NFL, or, you know, whatever his aspirations are. And it's the same with Jarrett Jackson. So, I mean, if the coaching staff is going to be realistic with him, they're going to tell him, you know, we see you getting this, or we see you doing that. You know, and if you feel like there's better opportunities, then maybe you should explore those. And, you know, I mean, you're going to have to make room for the incoming class and the incoming portal additions. And, you know, these aren't going to be the last guys. You're going to see more in the coming days and weeks, because you're going to have to make room for these guys. Like we said, I mean, you just physically don't have enough room. And, you know, Florida State needs guys who are going to be a little, you know, more towards looking at a 10-win season and an ACC championship, and not necessarily, you know, like we talked about before, where you took a lot of guys who you thought were diamonds in the rough and things like that, because you knew you were trying to get a rebuild and you didn't have a whole lot to sell to them other than playing time and an opportunity. And now things have changed a little bit. You know, Florida State has some success to sell, and, you know, they also have the new NIL collective that come out, the Battle's End, which is, you know, doing God's work right now. It's nice to see them step up. And, you know, we'll touch on that real quick too. I think that is a huge addition to FSU. I think that is something that's going to play very well. You know, it's extremely impressive to see them come out of the gate and say, we don't need money. We just want you to watch us work. And, you know, we can be as competitive as we want to be in this space. And so, you know, shout out to them. And, you know, shout out to Ingram from the Nolcast, who's heading that up. You know, it's a huge thing. And it's nice to see someone who, you know, is familiar with the program and kind of knows how the things work to be in charge of that, because they are going to focus on football. And it does seem like they have some real money to get involved with. And so I do think it's going to change things. And you've already seen them get involved with some players. You know, they've already been involved with guys like Patrick Payton, Jerry Jones, Renardo Green, Kalen DeLoach. And their big thing is focusing on bringing guys back, player retention at the moment. You know, of course, they're going to probably help go after some guys. But their big thing is to try and keep players on this roster, which I think is hugely important. You know, we all understand that Florida State needs to add some pieces. They're going to need to bring in some top-end guys, as well as keep building some depth, you know, to be able to make these runs. But at the same time, you know that you have potentially, you know, a roster here who can put together a 10-win season. And so more importantly than anything else is keeping those guys in, you know, on your roster, in your locker room. And so it's huge what they've been able to do for roster retention so far. And, you know, hopefully we can see some names come out in the next few days that maybe we didn't expect, or, you know, some we did. And truthfully, there's been a lot that have, like Michael Pittman said he's coming back. That I think that was pretty much expected. Jordan Travis is coming back, which is huge news. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I think that was expected too. You know, it's really the guys that you're kind of looking for that maybe you didn't expect an announcement from, like a Jared Verse or a Fabian Lovett or things like that, that you're really looking, you're kind of looking for here for this NIL to maybe sway the decision in a way that it wasn't going to go. And of course, that doesn't always mean going to the NFL. You know, these could have been guys that could have explored different NIL opportunities or different teams, or, you know, going to maybe a different program or something like that. But, you know, you have guys who are significant contributors at Florida State, and now that you can get them involved in some NIL opportunities, it does help to keep them around, and it does help to keep your roster, you know, stacked in good shape. And, you know, I will say one thing about Florida State and the portal so far is, you know, of course they've been effective, and we know that they've gotten some really good guys that have really elevated this roster and this team to what it is now. But at the same time, even the outgoing players in the portal here have been impressive for Florida State. Like, it's not any animosity. You know, you see Norvell retweeting a lot of these guys' announcements, saying that they're a great player, he enjoyed coaching them, you know, and it's just kind of the best interest for both parties. But it's not any bad blood, and it's handled extremely professional, with a lot of dignity and a lot of respect. You know, a lot of the players come out and talk about, you know, how good of a teammate they were, and they hope they end, you know, in the best position that they can, and fans, you know, really reaching out and showing support for them. So it's really impressive to see just the way Florida State has handled things. And you haven't seen really a flood of guys in the portal. Now, you may see more after the bowl game as well, but I mean, look at a place like Florida. Look at a place like Miami, where they're just hemorrhaging guys left and right. And it's almost like, how are you going to bring in a big enough class to even have any depth next year, because you're losing so many people? And so I do think that speaks to, you know, this, just this locker room, this culture, what Norvell has built, and the fact that these guys want to remain here. They want to help continue this climb, and they want to help continue to get that 10-win season, to make a run at something next year. And they're not just trying to bounce at the first opportunity they get, because they want to be a part of this team. And so I do think that is huge to see so far. And you know, when you talk about recruiting and the portal and things like that, I had someone bring up the other day in a comment on one of my posts about, you know, well, don't you think this might be, of course it was a Miami fan, go figure. But it was kind of saying that Norvell, you know, how do you know this is not a one-year deal because he can't recruit? And my response to that was, well, let's not jump to conclusions yet, because you have no proof of that. I know everybody wants to jump on the high school rankings and say that, okay, well, Norvell hasn't, you know, really impressed in high school recruiting. And that's fair to say. That's okay. Now, I do think they do get a lot of quality pieces. You know, maybe they just don't bring in, you know, a boatload of top-end guys. But I really like a Blake Nicholson. I really like, you know, a Brock Glenn. I really like some of the guys, a Lucas Simmons, that they're able to bring in. These guys, you know, are quality players. And the other thing that I responded to this comment was, all right, well, let's look at Norvell's recruiting table that he's had so far, like his tools that he's had to recruit. So he comes in 2020 in a COVID season where you have like less than a month to put together a class before early signing day. You know, you can't go out and recruit in person. You can't meet these guys. You can't have face-to-face interaction, which is basically impossible to expect a coach to build a relationship in less than a month and start flipping guys, you know, left and right. That's almost impossible to do. And that's why the early signing period really hampers what a first-year coach can do, especially when they're brought in late in the process. Well, then you fast forward to 2021, and now he's having to recruit coming off the back of a 3-win season that was pretty terrible optically. And you know, you didn't really have a huge NIL backing. Things were kind of still getting rolling and things like that. And then you had a 5-win season to recruit off of. And we said, you know, I said for a long time that Norvell and the staff, they do get a lot of good compliments on how they recruit. It's a family atmosphere. It just feels different at Florida State. And they were always really able to get some of the bigger recruits on campus. But the thing is, they really never had that success to sell. And that's why I think even in the portal now, you may see some guys who visited Florida State, enjoyed their time here, but just didn't see that success on the field that they were waiting on, you know, when they were being recruited by Florida State. And they were like, well, you know, I don't know if I want to, I like it here, but I just don't know if this is the best interest, you know, the best destination for me right now when you're winning 3 and 5 games. Well, now that Florida State has kind of turned that corner, now that they have the success on the field that these players are starting to see, now that the staff has success on the field to sell, also some playing time, and they have NIL, you know, a significant NIL backing from what it sounds like, you know, let's wait. Let's not put the jury, you know, let's let them hang out for a little bit until we decide Mike Norvell can't recruit, because you got to put him on fair ground too. I mean, if Miami didn't have the large NIL backing that they did, do you think they would be recruiting like they are? Of course not. And so I do think that once you give Mike Norvell a chance to have success to sell, a chance to have a marquee program to market, and NIL money, which I know they can't be directly involved in that, but you know, we all know how that works. So I think that you're going to see things change, you know, in the coming days, in the coming years, with the staff's recruiting. Now, of course, they got to get better at the high school ranks, but this again brings me back to portal versus high school. And to me, I know I may be in the minority here when I say this, but I love portal recruiting, portal additions. And when you look at some of the high school recruits, and I was thinking about this earlier today, let's look at a guy like Arch Manning, the number one overall recruit somehow. I don't see it, but you know, hey, to each their own. I don't rank recruits, so it's not my job to say that. But when you look at who he plays against, when you watch some of the film, just the high school ranks are so hard to, you can't control who they play against. You can't control the level of competition that they have. And when you watch his film, when you watch his game tapes, it looks like he's playing against middle school teams. They're just absolutely terrible. You know, to the point I could probably play quarterback and be a five-star recruit against some of the competition. But when you go into the portal, you don't have those question marks. You don't have, okay, were you just that good in high school because you're able to dominate terrible competition? You know, for a kid who maybe didn't play in a tough region in high school, in a tough area. And now you have a guy who you can evaluate on college film. Not always, because, you know, you obviously have like Trey Benson, who was injured and didn't have a whole lot of college film. But you can evaluate a guy based on college production against similar competition to what they're going to face at your school. You know that they've been in a college strength and conditioning and nutrition program for at least a year, sometimes two. And if you can get a guy with, you know, multiple years of eligibility left, then to me, I don't really see what the problem is anyway. If we're being honest, like if you get a good enough high school recruit, chances are they're going to be out of there in 3 years anyway. So if you can get a transfer and get 2 years out of them, what are you really losing? I mean, it's almost like you're skipping the, now you're still going to have to develop them in your system. You're still going to have to get them the way you like them, you know. Johnny Wilson was a little raw when he came in, and he still had some drop issues, but they were able to kind of get him, you know, in Florida State shape to where they wanted him. So there's still development to be had. But his very first year, he was a big contributor to this offense. And so you almost skip that straight out of high school into college development step. And that, to me, it just kind of fast forwards the process. You know, you're not taking an offensive lineman that you're not going to see for some, you know, two, sometimes 3 years, even if they have to redshirt, if they're just not physically ready. You know, you can get guys that can be plug and play day one. And I think that really does make things exciting. It really does change the game of college football, because you don't have to be stuck in a long-term rebuild waiting on young guys to mature. And then, you know, half the time the coach gets fired before they even get a chance to their best recruits to step on the field. So to me, the portal is exciting, and I do think Florida State now, with success on the field, with a little better NIL backing, with a proven history of transfer portal success, both for them and for the player, because one thing we've always talked about too is these guys, these portal guys, a lot of them are more about their business. They're not necessarily trying to come in and take pictures and be coddled and things like that, because they've already had that. They've been through that process. But now they're more like, okay, what can you do for me NIL-wise? What can you do for me playing-wise? What can you do for me development-wise? How can you help me get to the league? And how can we help each other as more of a business decision? And so that's why I think you see guys like Jermaine Johnson, who realistically, I mean, he could have stayed at Georgia. He probably could have went to any program that he wanted to. Jared Verse, same way. He was sought after by a lot of big programs. Now you're seeing these guys who are more about their business going, okay, I see the staff. I see what they're doing. I see them working. I'm more worried about what they can show for me development-wise and how we can help each other get to where we want to be. Because, of course, Jermaine Johnson could have stayed and won a national championship at Georgia. I think he knew that too. He's not dumb. Like, he knew what they had on that roster. And they're not always chasing to be on the best program. Like, not every transfer wants to be on Alabama and ride the bench to get a ring. I mean, Jermaine Johnson, again, is the perfect example. He was on a 5-win team and went as a first-round NFL draft pick. So, again, to me, it's more, you get a little bit more business decision when you look at the portal guys, which that's why I like it. That, to me, you're more likely to get an impact player who's just focused on the process and kind of helping each other out in a win-win relationship for both sides. Now, that doesn't always mean they're going to come in and contribute. That doesn't mean they're always going to come in and play. We've seen that before. Sometimes you do have to take some depth guys. But, you know, again, it's just it fast-forwards the process of getting a school back to where they want to be. Like Florida State, for instance, you know, if you didn't have the portal, where would this program be? And someone had mentioned before, well, you're not going to like it when someone comes in and takes a player from you with NIL offer and whatnot. And I said, of course not. I mean, no one's going to be happy about that. But at the same time, I mean, I guess if it has to be part of the game, it has to be part of the game, because where would Florida State be without transfers? And to me, that's almost a fair trade, because if it wasn't for those transfers, this wouldn't be a 9-win team. This wouldn't be possibly chasing their 10th win. They just wouldn't. And so it does make a huge difference in just how you view next year, how you view next season. I mean, I made a joke the other day on social media when the portal hit like 1,000 players. I said, man, next year doing these season previews is going to be just like blindfolded darts. It's going to be, you know, you're just going to have to sound like a conspiracy theorist. Well, this guy did good at this school and he did good at this school, so maybe at this school they'll do this. It's going to be wild to try and do. But again, I do think it makes it exciting in a way. And I do think it's okay for the players too. I mean, if they want to look for a fresh start or a better opportunity somewhere else, like I said, they have that right too. So I think it's kind of a win-win for everybody. I just think it's a little out of hand right now, of course, but I think it's going to calm down once people start to see that just because you jump in the portal doesn't mean you're always going to find a better situation. Now, as far as targets for Florida State, obviously there's going to be some names that are going to be thrown around. We know Florida State likes to reach out to guys almost immediately as soon as they hit the portal. They're one of the best in the business about that, getting in contact with kids, making that relationship, opening that door early so that they have the option. But, of course, like we talked about earlier, Florida State's going to be more choosy this year. They don't need to just take anybody. They can afford to take higher-end players. You have a little more NIL backing. You have a little more success on the field. You have a little more proven track record to where you can go after some bigger-name guys, some guys who can help you immediately. You don't have to take kind of a chance, a gamble on some guys that you hope are going to be good. You hope that they're going to be what you think they are. So, you know, there will be a lot of names tossed around still because, again, you have to almost kick the tires on everybody that you want who goes in there. Doesn't mean they're going to take them. You still have to feel some things out. But you have, obviously, some tight ends that are being rumored about from, you know, the one from South Carolina, which looks really good. I would, you know, I think he would be a great addition. They've gotten involved with a cornerback from Virginia who's, I believe, the top-rated transfer in the country. You know, and of course, when they get involved, that doesn't mean that they're going to land the guy. But I do feel like they're in a lot better position to land some of these guys now. And so we're just going to kind of keep our eyes on what targets come about in the next few days. Like I said, I'm not really big on speculation of what could happen, you know, or things like that. But I'd rather report what does happen than kind of throw a smoke screen out there and mess with everybody's head. But one thing to report, Josh Braun, the Florida transfer, he did commit to Arkansas already, so he is off the table. Obviously, Florida State is looking at Daryl Jackson from Miami, a defensive tackle, 6'6", 300 pounds. You know, not a dominant player for them, but he's productive. He graded out well on PFF. He had, I believe, over 400 snaps of experience, and I think he would be a good addition. Obviously, he has transferred one time from where he started his career at Maryland. So they're going to look for a waiver on him. I'm not going to say they're going to, you know, he's a take already. You know, I'm not going to say he's already signed, but they do believe he's going to get the waiver. And so they are looking at bringing him in. That we at least do know. And I do think that is the one position that you need to really focus on more than anything is defensive tackle. So I do think it would be big to get him, to add him to the boat. So that is one name to keep an eye on. But I mean, there's so many names, guys. Like, it's impossible to keep up with who is all in and out. And I mean, it would just be a full-time job to do with so many players. But there's going to be some really big opportunities for some big names. And I mean, when you just look down the list of some notable roster moves, which is something that we said in the ACC, you were going to see some changes coming up because you obviously have a lot of teams who were kind of peaking experience-wise. You know, they had a very mature roster. They took advantage of the COVID year because they didn't really have a whole lot of guys that were NFL ready, like NC State and like Wake Forest and things like that, where now you're going to have some guys who are going to be leaving due to attrition. You're going to have some guys who maybe they don't like the situation with some new coaching and they're going to just kind of dip. You have some situations where they're going to look to move. I mean, who would have thought Devin Leary was going to jump in the portal? But that's a huge thing because right now, Florida State has done really good at retention, and that is obviously huge. But some schools have not. And like when you look at BC, they had a terrible season this year. They have now already lost Phil Dracovic and Zay Flowers to the NFL draft. And so, I mean, that's killer for them. So, I mean, they were already bad, so it doesn't really make a difference. But you've also seen Clemson has lost a good bit of players to the portal. And, you know, we know Dabo doesn't really like to go into the portal himself. Now, that may change this year because they didn't have exactly, you know, they've had two seasons in a row where they missed the playoffs. He may have to just kind of suck his pride up and go in the portal and take some pieces to help them out. But, you know, that's going to affect them. Miami is hemorrhaging players, a lot of good, talented players, too. They're losing a lot of guys. So, I mean, it aims to be a rough year next year because even if you bring in a good high school class, And we'll even see how that shakes out, if because we obviously know better than any other fan base, you got to make it to ink on paper. It's National Signing Day doesn't mean squat until that letter gets faxed in. So, I mean, you never know. But if they don't hold that class together, but even if they do, you're bringing in some high school guys, and now you're losing a lot of your veteran contributors. So you may have, and of course, they can go to the portal too. I just don't know who wants to go play for that train wreck right now, because outside of NIL, what are you getting? I mean, you get to play in front of 15 fans. You don't get to be watched on TV as often as almost every other program. And we saw they were 57th in viewership. Attendance, I'm sure, has to be near the lowest in FBS. And, I mean, when you look at things like that, I mean, do you really want to go to Miami and take a check to get, blown out every week? Like, things are going to come to fruition now. Like I said, you're going to see where some things get exposed. You always get that first year coaching bump, and I think Miami got exposed a little bit with their coaching, and I don't think a lot of people want to be a part of that. That's why you've seen them kind of hemorrhage things, and that could be the same with Florida. Florida has hemorrhaged a lot of players too, and a lot of important players, a lot of key players. So, again, a lot of this sets up next year. This is something that I talked about before, where we just touched on. Florida State sets up to have a really special year next year. I mean, you could have a Wake Forest with no Sam Hartman. Initially, we thought he was going to go to the NFL. Now it looks like he may stay in college and try and cash in on an NIL opportunity. Even his coach said that they're kind of preparing for him to transfer somewhere else. So, I mean, you could have a Sam Hartman-less Wake Forest, a Devin, NC State without Devin Leary. You could face, which they don't play them next year, but you could also get them in the ACC championship. But you're going to have a lot of these teams that don't have a lot of those guys anymore, because now they have seen opportunities to go to other programs. And Florida State right now almost kind of looks like the one constant in the ACC that really just hasn't they're not bleeding players left and right. They're kind of doing the best at retention. So I do think that sets up well for next year. And, we'll use that to transition into talking about retention and some of the players. Obviously, we know Jordan Travis announced via social media that he is going to come back, which is huge for Florida State. I mean, I don't think it was a surprise. That's no knock on Jordan. I don't think it was a surprise that he was coming back. I didn't expect him to leave. But it's still big news for Florida State. And that's not to say that he's not capable of playing in the NFL. I think if he puts together another solid season, he avoids the injury bug for another year, knock on wood, that I think that's a very good possibility for his future. But you also have the third highest graded quarterback in Power 5 per PFF coming back now. He also returns a majority of his weapons. You're adding in Hakeem Williams. You're getting Winston Wright back from injury, who was probably your most dynamic receiver that never saw the field last year. So you also have him announce this, which is pretty genius, and I'm sure it was planned that way, to announce that he was staying as portal day, the first day in the portal, was kind of coming, winding down. Because now you can say, okay, well, why would I want, if you're a receiver, why would I want to go to Florida State? Well, they got one of the best quarterbacks in the country returning next year. We already know that. It's not a guess. We don't know who else is going to make a move or go somewhere else, or where some of these more talented quarterbacks who are in the portal are going to land. You don't know that yet. So if you already know you have a legit quarterback coming back in one of the best offenses in the country, you now become a hotter portal destination. You now move up that list of landing spots that you can end up where you would want to be, because they'll be able to feature you. And also, I think it's huge for him to come back, not only because of his skill set, because now, like we talked about last episode, I approach 2023 from the mindset that Florida State is playing for an ACC title. They are, chasing one, obviously. They're chasing an ACC title next year. They're chasing a playoff bid next year. And obviously, if it was a 12-team playoff, they'd for sure probably make it. But, obviously a lot of things have to still shake out, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse yet. But this team really has some high goals and aspirations next year. And this is one of the biggest dominoes to fall. But I also think when you look going forward, when you look farther out than just the immediate goal of next year, I think this is huge for helping to bridge the gap between now and when you have someone like Brock Glenn or AJ Duffy who are ready. Because if he had moved on, I think you would have had to go take a quarterback in the portal. And nothing against Tate. And Tate had some flashes in the Louisville game where he did good, but we also know that Tate has had some really bad moments. And if you're trying to compete for an ACC title and you're trying to compete for the playoffs next year, you had to have Jordan back. That was the key piece to making this whole thing work. Now, you may see somebody hit the portal. It's hard to say because that room is getting a little bit crowded. You know, I think you'll probably see three quarterbacks on the roster going into next year. I don't know that you're going to see four. Again, it depends on how NIL retention and all those things go. But at the same time, you got your guy. You got your head signal caller. You've got a guy who runs this offense efficiently, runs it very well, and now is going to have just another year in the system because we saw how much this year, just by him having experience, him being QB1 for a whole year with no second guessing, no splitting snaps, things like that, he was able to prepare the entire year. And we saw how much that improved his game. And so now you're going to bring him back and add on to that. I mean, there's a real chance he's going to be, at least in the beginning of the season, he's going to be a Heisman hopeful. And when's the last time Florida State was talked about in that light? So it's huge, man. It's huge to get him back, not only for next year, but to bridge the gap for the future until you get one of those guys that you want to take over the reins ready to go. So that's huge to bring Jordan back. Like I said, you kind of seen some dominoes fall where you get Micah saying he's going to come back, Winston Wright's coming back. You assume a lot of the other guys are coming back. So really, the only place you need to shore up. Now, again, this is all predicated on who else is going to leave, which we don't know yet. But this is something that you're going to see where it's probably going to inspire some guys to come back. You're probably going to have some guys, if Jordan's coming back, we can make a real run at something. So I want to be a part of that too, especially the guys who, maybe were here before that were not the good times, and so they may want to see this thing through because I do think it is important, when we talk about the bowl, that 10th win is important to this team. I think they are on a mission to get Florida State back where it belongs. That's part of what they signed up for. You didn't sign up to be on a 5-win team to think you're going to a national championship in 2 years. You signed on to that team to be a part of getting Florida State back to where they wanted to be. And now, because of the work they put in, because of the pieces that they've added, and because of how things have shaken out, now you all of a sudden find yourself with that opportunity. And so I do think you're going to see a lot of these guys come back and try and chase those goals. And it just speaks to the volume of what has been done in the culture here, because you also have these guys who are playing in the bowl game. We talked about it last episode. Jared Verse and Jamie Robinson, they don't need to play in this bowl game. They do not need any part of this, but they're doing it because they care. They care about this program. They care about their teams and their teammates, and they care about the staff. And so to see them come back and be willing to help out is huge for getting that 10th win, for setting Florida State up going into next season. And, now we'll kind of just transition into the bowl game to keep it from going too long. But, last thing on those guys coming back is I think you are going to see a few guys come back. They're going to see some announcements coming in the next few days and weeks of some other guys who will be announcing they're returning. Some may be a surprise, some may not. Obviously, the biggest name we're waiting on is Jared Verse, and I don't think you're going to know that quite yet. I think you're going to see a few things. You're going to have to fill out your draft grades, what your NIL opportunities are, and things like that. But, you also have a situation where now NIL can – like we talked about, NIL can really make a difference in keeping players because there's no guarantee you're going to get drafted. Now, Jared Verse is probably a different situation. He's probably going to go in the first two rounds based on his tools and his production. But if you have a guy who's maybe going to go fourth, fifth, sixth round, undrafted free agent, things like that, you can get some pretty lucrative NIL deals that might be worth it for you to stay another year and try and elevate that draft stock. So, we'll wait. We'll see what comes out. But I do think that you're going to see a lot of guys who are going to be influenced by what they know is on the table for next year. You're going to see a lot of guys who maybe want to be a part of that. And so if they don't and they do move on, then we'll just wish them luck and wish them the best because, they have the right to go chase their dreams in the NFL too. And thank them for what they did during their time here. But you feel like they know, this team knows that next year can really be something. And I think you're going to want to see some guys that just want to be a part of that, especially if you can make it worth it, NIL-wise. And that's not to say that everybody is playing for money. That's not the case. But at the same time, if you're projected to go to the NFL draft and something happens, obviously, knock on wood, we don't want that to happen. But that's a huge risk that you're going to take. And so they do kind of need to make it worth it for them. And that's where NIL comes in. So anyway, like I said, we're just going to wait and see. how things shake out in the next few days. And as things break, we'll jump back on and we'll talk about it and how that affects next season. But I do think you're going to see a very good core of players returning. And you've already got a lot of your key pieces coming back for next year. And, you know, when you look at how you can end this season, and this is part of the bowl game, when you look at how you end the season, you know, Florida State realistically has a chance to end the season with 10 wins on a 6-game winning streak and possibly ranked in the top 10. That's huge for this program. That is an absolute massive turnaround from 3 wins to 5 wins to potentially 10 wins. I mean, you've already got 9. And I'm excited about the bowl game, personally. I know a lot of people think it's kind of a short sell for Florida State to have to play a 6-6 Oklahoma team from the Big 12. But to me, I think it's pretty exciting. I mean, you get to play another big brand in college football that you do have a little bit of history with, even if it's not good history, being that Florida State is 1-6 all time against Oklahoma. But you know, there's a lot of cool tie-ins here. You know, you have that history with them. You're playing in Orlando. You get a bowl game in your backyard. You have the history of you and Brent Venables, who maybe you can deliver some payback now because his defense is pretty terrible. So we kind of owe him more than one. And so you also have, you know, Dylan Gabriel's coming back to Orlando where he was at UCF prior. So that, like, there's so many cool little storylines here. And, you know, I understand the name Cheez-It Bowl kind of cheapens how you feel about it. It's because it's just the way the sponsorship works out. But I mean, it's a decent bowl. Like, it's got a pretty good payout. You know, it paid out more than the Gator Bowl, I believe more than the Duke's Mayo Bowl as well. So it's a good payout for the bowl. And you get to match up with another, you know, a big name brand. And, you know, the Big 12 was good this year. It was relatively tough. And so it was Venable's first year. Obviously, we know first year coaches can have a hard time until you fill out your roster the way you want, until you get the guys you want. And this game could potentially be closer than people think. But I do think that having this game in your backyard, it helps for some recruiting. It helps to get, you know, you get these bowl practices on top of that. You don't have to travel, so you can stay close to home. And these bowl practices are going to set up well for next year. You're getting these young guys all these extra practices for the bowl game that will play in well to next year, if nothing else. And you also have the Marching Chiefs will be able to be there. And from what we're seeing online so far, the ticket demand is through the roof right now. I mean, this thing's going to be sold out. And you know, tickets are already getting really expensive. And I mean, Oklahoma's a fan base that travels well. You know, I don't know how them being 6-6 is going to affect that, but that's a fan base that will travel, especially when you get a big name matchup like Florida State and Oklahoma. And so I do think it's going to be a fun game. Like I said, I think that Oklahoma might be, I know when you look at 6-6, and I know when you see they got blown out by Texas 49-0, which Dylan Gabriel did not play in that game. So I do think a lot of fans are already writing this game off, like Florida State's going to win by 40 points. I do think Florida State is going to win. I think they're probably going to win big just because of a lot of the things that we've seen come out. Oklahoma's lost a lot of really important guys, whereas you've seen Florida State has had a lot of guys who are committed to playing in the bowl game. A lot of guys have already opted out. Very crucial pieces for Oklahoma have opted out already, including their leading rusher who had over 1,300 yards rushing, both of their starting offensive tackles, a defensive tackle, and multiple other guys who have already went in the portal. So, you know, maybe before the opt-outs, I thought this game could be a little closer than people thought because a lot of their games were relatively close. If Gabriel's playing, they have a good offense, and it's kind of crazy whenever you compare their offenses. I mean, they're almost in lockstep. It's pretty crazy how close they are in a few categories. Looking at some of the quick breakdown that I had on here, I mean, when you look at their offense, their total offense is 18th, Florida State's is 13th, passing offense for Oklahoma is 45th, Florida State's is 41st, rushing offense for Oklahoma is 13th, rushing offense for Florida State is 12th. So these teams are closer than you think. When you look at S&P Plus rankings, which are, again, those are more of an advanced ranking, which takes account for opponent adjusted time, pace of play, things like that, they're actually ranked higher than Florida State somehow. They are ranked 20th, and Florida State is 26th. But even the FEI, which is another similar opponent-adjusted ranking system, Florida State comes in at 11th, and they come in at 29th. So it's not a huge spread. Now, to be fair, when you compare their offenses, like we mentioned, They already know they're going to be without their leading rusher. They already know they're going to be without two offensive tackles. So the one thing that they had going for them just kind of got spearheaded there straight into the ground. So that's obviously plays well for Florida State. Now their defense is a completely different story. Florida State has the 14th ranked total defense. They are at 120th. Pass defense for Florida State is third in the country. Oklahoma is 107th. Rush defense is 64th for Florida State. They are at 109th. So you would expect Florida State to be able to have a big offensive day against a pretty terrible defense. But you would have thought maybe you could have a little bit of a shootout situation here. Well, you know, now that they're down so many pieces, that may not be the case. But I don't think this is a game that we can just go into and overlook. And to be honest, like I like the matchup just because of the, you know, the things that are behind it, the things, you know, the storylines and things like that. I mean, you know, I was at 2011 Oklahoma, one of those games that is arguably the loudest game in Doak Campbell history. That was really fun. You know, unfortunately they lost that game, but man, it was just such an exciting atmosphere. I went to game day, who was in town for that matchup. Me and my buddy John, we drove over there. I think we got there at like midnight, something insane like that. Waited in line for hours on hours just to get in, get up front. And then I was on like the tiniest little corner. You know, we made the front row, but I was on TV by like the tiniest little corner of the screen. And of course, I was excited back then. So I was like texting everybody, hey, turn it on. And when they pan to the left, look over Dez's, like, look, when if he lifts his arm, I'm like right under his armpit. So like it was silly, but it was fun and it was exciting. And that atmosphere was absolutely nuts. And, you know, the crazy thing is, I actually remember the attendance for that game was 84,392. I don't know why I know that number. That was announced anyway. I feel like there was probably more than that. But it was one of the biggest games in Florida State history and you know, crowd-wise. And so we owe them one for that. Like, we owe them a little bit of a payback for that game. And then, obviously, we know how 2010 went when they kind of blew us off the field. So hopefully Florida State can kind of even the series out a little bit here, get a win for them, you know, for Florida State, and maybe do it in convincing fashion. But I do think it's a fun matchup with them. And I know they're 6-6. I know they have lost a few pieces, but it would have been fun to match up against an Oregon team. It would have been fun to match up against an Alabama or Tennessee, even in the Orange Bowl. That would have been awesome. But at the same time, when you have a lot of opt-outs, when you have a lot of players not playing in the bowl game and things like that, how much did the, you know, to certain schools, in a way, it's just become an exhibition. Like, how much does a bowl, if it's not a playoff game, really matter anymore? It just doesn't seem like it's really that huge. And I mean, obviously I'm not discrediting the bowl, you know, but you have a lot of opt-outs and players who just aren't interested in playing. You're going to see a lot of younger guys, you know, who aren't the key pieces for these teams playing. And to me, I really want that 10th win. I mean, it's just, to me, it's very important. I think when you look back a few years from now, you won't necessarily remember that it was a 6-6 Oklahoma team or something like that. I think you're going to look at the season and you'll be able to go, wow, Florida State, you know, they went from 3 wins to 5 wins. They won 10 games that year. They beat LSU. They beat Miami. They beat Florida. They beat Oklahoma. They finished top 10 in the country. I just think getting that win is more crucial than who you're playing. But you also get a chance to get it against a big-name storied program like Oklahoma. So to me, it's going to be a fun matchup. It's going to be a fun game to watch. It's going to be packed. It's going to be, you know, primarily Florida State fans. It should be a good home field advantage for them. They are the home team in that game. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. And I am excited about it. You know, again, I think initially it has the potential to be a little bit closer game because they're not a bad team. I just think with all the opt-outs that you've seen from them and all the players who have elected to play in the bowl game for Florida State, I just think that's going to sway things, you know, more than maybe it could have been with both teams at full strength. So that's kind of my thoughts on the bowl game there. And, you know, I think it's just big for Florida State to be back in the postseason. It's back, you know, it's great to see them back to have this momentum. And I really hope they can get the win. Because like we said, if you're coming into next year with coming off a 10-win season, and this is, of course, they got to win the game first. I'm not like trying to say they already won it. But, you know, if you come off a 10-win season, 6 wins in a row to end the season and a potential, you know, top 10 ranking, depending on how things shake out. And I do think if they win the bowl, they'll probably be in the top 10 when the season finishes. You know, when you look at all those things And then you come into next year and you have, depending on who LSU brings back, and they've lost some pieces too, which, man, that backup looks pretty good. I mean, he torched Georgia's defense through the air. So that might be a problem next year. And Kayshon Boutte is coming back as well. He's already announced that. Now, they did lose Jack Beck, or Besher, or however you say it, which was, you know, he was one of their better players in the receiving core. I don't know how much he contributed this year, but, you know, we'll have to see who they lose to for the NFL draft and things like that. But that game really, it looks different than maybe you would have thought a few years ago when you had a reeling Florida State, when you had a reeling LSU. Now do you see these two teams are poised to make a run? I mean, outside of that embarrassing loss to A&M by LSU, I mean, they were knocking on the door of the playoffs. Now, obviously, I don't think they were going to be beating Georgia because Georgia right now just looks like an absolute machine that Kirby has rolling. But that game next year, it's probably going to be a top 10, top 15 matchup, especially now that you know you're bringing Jordan Travis back. You know, now I think getting some of these names back, and if they're able to add some pieces in the portal, and they're able to go out and win this bowl game, because if you lose the bowl game now, that's the other side of things. If you lose the bowl game, I think it's a bad look because you've had them have a lot of guys opt out. You've had you bring some guys back. It's in your backyard. You're the better team. If you lose that bowl game, it's not going to be good. But at least by then, I still think people have seen the progress. They've seen that Florida State's not the same team as the past, and they're a better program. And so I think, you know, you have that already in the bag. So I do think it is important for them to win this game. But when you look at all those things combined, if everything plays out the way you want it to, Florida State should be ranked top 10, top 15 coming into next season with a game already, day one, game one, where you have a chance to prove yourself. And if you can come out and beat LSU, you're in the driver's seat really to make some noise for next year. And I understand preseason rankings are dumb. I don't agree with them, which is why the College Football Playoff Committee doesn't do them till later in the season, which is very smart, because look at how teams shake out. I mean, look at Miami. They were top 15 preseason, and now they're a dumpster fire. But at the end of the day, it kind of does matter at the same time, because if you start ranked pretty high and you end up dropping a game, you can kind of recover from that. I mean, look at Ohio State. You know, they lost the last game of the season, and because they were ranked so high, they're right back in the playoffs. And so to me, if you are able to start ranked high, you know, I understand you can still make it if you win the ACC and you go, say, 11-1 or something like that. You know, chances are you're going to make it. And going forward in 2024 and beyond with a 12-team playoff, you know, Florida State wins 10 games, they're probably going to be in the playoffs, unless you just have an insane amount of, like, undefeated or one-loss teams, which usually doesn't happen. But, you know, when you look at next year, if you're able to come out starting top 15 and you're able to beat LSU game one, you know, you could almost even afford to drop a game next year and still really have a legit chance at making the playoffs. And so it does kind of matter at the same time. But it does, you know, just the way things are setting up for next year. And it's kind of funny how everybody's like, you would guess by social media that Florida State won a national championship by the way our fans are on social media right now and things like that. But yeah, man, we're excited. Like, there's reason to be excited in Tallahassee. There is juice right now at Florida State. There's juice right now in Tallahassee that is not like it has been recently. And, you know, this team feels, this program feels like it's poised to really get back to where we want it to be. I mean, you already have a staff that has proven they can win on, you know, or at least turn around a team. I keep wanting to say 10 games, but I don't want to give it to Florida State until they win that 10th game. But, you know, that you have a staff who took a 3-win team, which I know they were responsible for the 3 wins too. But you took a team that was a mess, that was 5-3 win team, and you turned them into a 9-win team with the potential to win 10 games with some players who aren't the most top end. And so you feel good about what your staff is able to do. You feel good about this coaching staff and their game planning and things like that. Now you have some NIL, you know, some legit NIL backing where you can kind of throw your weight around and you can pull in some of those top players and you can retain some of your top players. You feel good about this fan support. You know, Florida State was top 15 in viewership this year. They had a couple of sellouts. The fan support is really coming back, which, you know, when you look at what the boosters had put out from how things were in 2013-14 to how they were now. You had a huge fall off in the booster members. And that's what happens when things get success, or, you know, success wanes, is you don't always have the sellouts. You don't have the frenzy for season tickets. You know, and I think next year, even though your home slate's not the greatest, you're going to see a big attendance boost because people want to come see a good product. And so, you know, you just take all those things into account. You take the momentum from 2022. You take the new NIL platforms and the new, you know, the more booster support that you're going to get, the more fan support that you're going to get. Man, it just feels like something is brewing here, and it's getting ready to boil over, and it's getting ready to really just elevate this program to the next level, which is exciting. And so, you know, of course we're going to be excited. Of course we're going to be happy. And of course we're going to celebrate. You know, I think they're upset. Because, you know, obviously it's mostly the rivals who are talking about Jordan coming back, you know, like, well, where's he going to go? He wouldn't go to the NFL or whatever. Like, you know, well, he's good enough to beat your team. So you're just mad that he's, you know, they're upset. They know Florida State is not down anymore. You know, and now that doesn't mean Florida State's back. Obviously, we know they have to do it for more than one season. It doesn't, you know, you can't just take 1-9-1 season and say they're back. But it feels like Florida State is on the verge of being a consistent threat again, and I think they know that, and I think they see that. And when you look at, especially in the case of Miami and Florida, your in-state rivals, you know, what did they do when Florida State was down? And this is the funny thing that I keep bringing up to them that they don't understand, is when they say, you know, well, you guys haven't been good, you've missed a bowl. Like, I pick on Miami fans about not making a bowl. And then they want to bring up the past few years. And I understand that. I get that. But, like, you didn't do anything while Florida State was down. You didn't take this state by the throat in recruiting. You didn't win an ACC championship or an SEC championship in Florida's case. You didn't win any national championships. You didn't do anything to separate yourself while Florida State was down. And now they're on the way back. So you're probably, you know, they might be in trouble going forward. And I think they know that. I think they know that Florida State is on the way to being a consistent threat again. I think they know they have a good staff in place now. You know, and I think they know things are going to get serious in recruiting too with the NIL backing and the success that the staff now has to sell, which we talked about earlier. So, you know, that's something that's big for me. I think just the momentum, the energy, and the juice in this program right now is at an all-time high, you know, since the 2013-14 years and things like that. So you have a reason to be excited again. You have a reason for Florida State football to be fun again. You have a reason to enjoy Saturdays again. You know, Florida State has the potential to play for something again next year, which is exciting. You know, it's not something that's not a feeling we've had in a while. And so, you know, I'm not here for any of the FSU slander. You know, I'm just trying to enjoy what we have because obviously winning is not guaranteed. And so it is exciting to see, and it is exciting to know. And you're dang right we're going to celebrate it. So it's been fun, and I'm just really excited to see how the portal season shakes out because you do have a staff who has shown to be successful. And, you know, now that you know they can be a little more choosy in who they take, and now that they can go after some more high-end targets, I really do think you're going to see them pull in some bigger names. And you still have some high school recruits to be excited about as well. But I really do think now with the portal, I think high school recruiting is still very crucial. But like we talked about, if you can get multiple-year transfer guys, it's not really as big of a deal as, you know, if you finish 20th in high school recruiting and, you know, say Miami finishes top five, but you pull in a bunch of day one starters, you have a better transfer portal class. And I do think at least On3 is going to start doing portal rankings, and they're going to start including intakes and departures into their overall class rankings. You know, if you can be effective in the portal, then I don't see a problem there. I mean, if that's how you have to live, then, you know, it's obviously been a huge benefit for Florida State. I mean, it got us back to 9 wins. And so to me, I'm a fan of the portal. I'm not mad at the portal. I think it's done more for Florida State than it has against Florida State. And I've seen that. I've seen the change that it can make. And so I'm a fan of it because I do think, you know, you can kind of erase some of those shortcomings in high school recruiting now. And, you know, let's just, like we talked about earlier, you may have some guys who you keep that door open. You keep that relationship with them. And even if they sign somewhere else, you could have a staff turnover. You could have things not work out the way they want. You might get a second chance at that recruit. And now he's been in that college system, you know, for a year. Now he's probably more game ready than before. So it is possible that, you know, high school recruiting is not over now with the portal and stuff like that. It's not over when they sign even. you know, like we said, you may have a second chance at a guy. And so I do think that is something that this staff is good at, is keeping contact and keeping that door open. And so I'm excited to see what moves they make in the portal. I hope they're able to get some big name guys in the positions that they need. But that's the thing, is I do trust the staff. I mean, when you look at a guy like Michael Pittman and Johnny Wilson and Trey Benson and things like that, maybe you found some guys who are some diamonds in the rough. And so if they can find those level of players as diamonds in the rough, you know, if you can pull in some guys that are already proven, you know, they're diamonds that are not in the rough. Well, I don't know what a good expression for that is, but a gem, you know, maybe they're already a known gem. That's big, you know, and that's huge. And that immediately moves you to the front of the conversation for an ACC championship, for a playoff contention. And so I do think that's something you're going to see this year, is see them sign some higher end guys. And so it's exciting. It makes next year even more exciting yet, because you already feel like Florida State is going to be, you know, one of the better teams next year, especially bringing some guys back and now able to add some better guys. So, I mean, there's other places that have NIL. There's other places that have success on the field. There's a lot of 9 and 10 win teams out there. So you're going to see competition. That doesn't mean Florida State's going to land every guy that they put their name in the hat with. It's just not going to happen. But they're going to get some guys. And I do think that is one thing that the success from the transfer market is going to help, is going to be a big sell for FSU, and players are going to see that I can go there and they can feature me in this offense and I can turn myself into a household name. And so that is important. And I do think that will play big for Florida State. That'll pay dividends going forward. And so I'm excited to see the haul they get. But with that, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Like I said, it's just a really big news week so far. So I wanted to jump on and just share some thoughts. You know, it's nice, you know, to just kind of be able to come on and just talk a little bit and connect with you guys, not necessarily have to go over a bunch of notes and stats and things like that. It's kind of fun to just sit back, relax, and kick it with you guys. So, you know, if there's some more news break or we get some more big news, exciting news, then we'll obviously jump back on. Like I said, I still have some more things that I have planned. I want to do, obviously, a bowl game preview when things get a little closer. You know, like I said earlier, I really didn't want to record Monday because I kind of wanted to wait for some dust to settle, see who, you know, some news to come out and things like that. So once the dust settles a little bit more on who's going to be playing in the bowl, a little closer to the game, we'll have that preview. I will obviously keep you guys updated on the roster moves and things like that that are going to happen over the next few days and weeks, and just some other fun things that I have planned. So be sure to tune in and stay connected with us, guys, because I think I got some things you're going to enjoy coming up. So again, I do appreciate you guys tuning in. I do appreciate all your support, and yeah, it's going to be a crazy few weeks. So just stay tuned, and you know, I may not be the first on everything, but I will try and get as much out there for you guys as I can. Like I said, I'm not big on cryptic tweets. I'm not big on you know, just trying to get clicks or likes or shares or whatever, just to put out some eyeballs or that I know something. I mean, you know, of course I heard Travis was going to come back before, you know, the news broke, and I've heard some other things like that. But again, I would rather be right than be first. So, you know, maybe you don't hear it here first, but, you know, again, we try to provide some authentic coverage, you know, in my own way and do things the right way. So I do appreciate you guys tuning in, and, you know, look forward for the next episode. I look forward to talking to you guys. So thanks for tuning in, and go Noles.